You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk. 702 and Cape Talk, open line.
My goodness, I just look at my Twitter timeline. It's like a wave washing over the show, because all you want to talk about is, of course, the story that's been dominating certain Xolani's breakfast show. EWN's been covering it yesterday on social media, and that's Grace Bible Church. In a second, I'm going to be speaking to the spokesperson of Grace Bible Church, Reverend Ezekiel Matole. But before I do so, let me try my best to be fair. It's very, difficult to be fair when it comes to bigotry. Because as far as I'm concerned, the sermon that was preached yesterday, out of which Somizi walked, and I take my hat off to him, was a piece of bigotry. So the first thing we're going to play, Duneo, so that people can make up their own minds, is this pastor that had been invited by Grace Bible Church in Soweto. And I've specifically asked so that some of you who want to protect homophobia can't accuse us of, but where's the context? You're taking one sentence out of context. So it's longer than what you've heard in the EWN news clips. There'll be a little bit before, so you get a sense of what the overall theme of the sermon was. Then the bit that triggered Somizi walking out, and then a little bit after that. Let's first play that. This is what happened in church yesterday. For those of us like myself who don't wake up for church, here's your chance.
And for the soul. But God has appointed shepherds whose concern is your soul. The soul is very important. My topic is why your soul is important. And I'm explaining that your soul is important because it can die. It can be destroyed. It's a real person. It's not an airbag. And God has appointed shepherds and bishops just for your soul. So, you must feed the inside. And work on the inside. Now look at how so much adjustment is done to come out. So it shows you that when you leave things raw, like if you leave your hair raw, just as it is, it may not get somebody to marry you if you just leave it as it is. Isn't it true? Or if you leave your hips or whatever as they are, you may not get somebody. But all the curves affect people. So how much more the soul when it's left just as it is? One time I was in Kenya and they took me to the wildlife place and we were going along and then I saw antelopes, impalas. Several. They were like, I counted, they were like 75. So then the guide told me, please notice that only one of them has horns. I said, what does it mean? He said, that's the male. Those are his wives, the 75 of them. I said, 1 to 75. That sounds powerful. It's not, that's nature. Yes, dogs, cats, leopards. Mention the animal. Which one has one partner? It's just like homosexuality. You don't have male and male. If you use that reasoning to say homosexuality is not natural, you don't find two male dogs or two male lions, two male impalas, two male cats, even lizards, two male elephants, two male. There's nothing like that in nature. It's unnatural. Yes, there's nothing like that in nature. And in the same way, there's nothing like one to one. Nature is one to several. So it takes spiritual power to stay with one person.
Okay, there was a guest preacher yesterday at the Grace Bible Church in Soweto, Bishop Dag Ewart Mills. And there you've heard, and that's what triggered some easy walking out. Joining me now for this conversation is Reverend Ezekiel Matole, who's spokesperson for Grace Bible Church. Reverend Matole, thank you so much for being available to engage us.
Well, good morning, Eusebius. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you, sir. How are you?
I'm okay, and good morning to the listeners of 702.
It's a pleasure having you here. Would you agree with me that the sermon that we've just heard, the excerpt in particular, that have caused consternation amongst LGBTI community and their allies, is a form of bigotry?
Yeah, I think I wouldn't want to take that in isolation only. I would say, if you listen to the entire sermon, the entire sermon was very, very provocative. It provoked and challenged a lot of people and offended many people. It offended people who are liars. It offended people who are promiscuous. It offended people who are thieves. And then it dealt with issues around people with different sexual orientations, whether they are male and they have different partners or they are homosexual. So across the board, it didn't only offend the LGBT community. It offended a lot of people because it was a very, very provocative sermon.
Reverend Matola, it's no achievement to offend everyone. Being an equal opportunity offender doesn't make it any better. For the gay community, do you agree that having your dignity trampled on in a sermon is grossly unacceptable?
No, I don't think we promote anybody trampling anybody's dignity. What was out there in terms of the sermon when Bishop Dark was dealing with the value of the soul? He reflected when it comes to homosexual to a different view than our view, which is a view that is out there. And we as a church, we are open to say, let's talk openly about all the contrary views that are there in society. Because we become a healthy society when we deal with these things than keep them in secret. To us, the response is a good response when people are actually saying, They don't like this particular view. It is very, very good than it being a view that is held in secret, so that those who don't like the view can oppose it. Because we have to reach a point where, as a Christian community, in order to deal with discrimination, in order to deal with oppression, and what you call bigotry, that we must be willing to discuss these things. They are there. They are out there.
Reverend Matola, let's be clear about where you and I agree. The speech rights of Bishop Ewart Mills are not at issue in this conversation. I will defend till the end of my days, until my mortal remains have to be lowered in a casket, Reverend Ewart Mills' right to say the things that he said. This conversation is about the content of what he said. As Grace Bible Church, do you associate yourself with these comparisons between homosexuality and two male dogs, two male lions, two male impalas? Don't defend his speech rights. That is guaranteed constitutionally. And as a gay man, I defend his right to say whatever he believes. What do you make of the content of his beliefs?
Yeah, we are saying. We are saying as a church, that is Bishop Doug's view. That's not the view of Grace Bible Church.
What is
Grace
your view? Bible Church,
our view is we don't discriminate against anybody who is gay.
Okay, but he discriminated, so if you don't believe in discrimination and he did...
You don't give me a chance to explain. You're asking our view. I want to explain our view. Could you just give me an opportunity to do it?
I want you to do two things for me kindly. Otherwise, we're talking past each other. Give me your view.
No, we're not talking past each other.
Reverend Matola.
I'm giving our view.
Reverend Matola, I will give you plenty. I will give you plenty of time. If you don't answer the questions, my professional job in the media is to make sure that you don't get away with kicking for touch. What is Grace Bible's view?
I'm not trying to get away with anything. Trying to answer your question.
It's okay. I'll give you. Let me
trying to answer your question.
Reverend Matola, let me pre-see my question, and then I will shut up, and then you can respond. I want to know, as a gay man, what is Grace Bible's doctrinal view on same-sex sex? And thereafter, what do you make of this pastor that compares the lifestyle of same-sex couples to that of dogs?
As Grace Bible Church, number one, we don't discriminate against anybody who's gay. Anybody who's gay is welcome to attend our church. Now, our view on same-sex marriages or same-sex relationship is that it's people's opinion and it's people's choice of their own alternative lifestyle to have same-sex relationship. Our view when it comes to either marriage or relationships that leads to an institution of a marriage is that it's between we take a biblical view that it must be a male and a female. But what people choose, it has nothing to do with us. They don't need our endorsement. It's their right to do it.
Okay, so why should I come to your church if you think that only heterosexual relationships are the ones that are acceptable? I mean, this is not even restricted to the guest pastor. I went on your website. In order to become a member of your church, you need to sign what is called a statement of faith. The fifth article reads as follows. So this has got nothing to do with the guest. This is now squarely Grace Bible Church. And I quote from your so-called statement of faith that someone has to sign as a prospective member. With regards to sexual behavior, we believe in heterosexual relationships between a natural man and a natural woman within the confines of lawful matrimony. So where's the space there for different sexual orientations?
No, you are asking our doctrine, isn't it? You have just read our doctrine. I have explained the same doctrine. So we are not contradicting ourselves. You have read the statement. It is our statement of faith. But for somebody to have a same-sex relationship, they don't need the permission of Grace Bible Church. It's their right to do it. They don't need our endorsement. It's their right. We don't have to answer to that. It's their right. Nobody's stopping them.
So what do you say to gay members of your congregation who feel excluded by a doctrine that is deeply heteronormative?
That's our doctrine as a church. We have the right to believe that doctrine and to uphold that doctrine.
That is not an issue from a legal point of view. I'm asking you, as a Christian who presumably has a church that is based on love, if two adults are in a committed, loving relationship, what do you say to them as Christian LGBTI members who do not want to be part of a congregation that excludes their loving, same-sex, adult, consent-based relationship? Reverend Matole? Okay, the Reverend Matole seems to have lost his voice there. Perhaps some divine intervention and we can get him back on the line. 23 minutes after 9, let's take a break. We'll see whether we can get him back. Otherwise, I'm going to be taking your view and plenty of you calling in already. What do you make of what happened yesterday? I have to be very clear on my own view. It's unambiguous. There's no place in a society founded on the inherent dignity of every group and every individual and substantive equality for this kind of preaching. This sermon was homophobic. I salute Samisi for walking out. And here's my question, especially to black members of the congregation who are not offended. If racism was being preached, if someone uses the Bible to talk about a chosen race, Afrikaner nationalists often used biblical scripture to justify the view that white people are the apex of a racial hierarchy. This happened in Nazi Germany as well. How would you respond if you are not okay with racism as a black person? Why were you cheering if you were part of their congregation yesterday? Let's debate.
702 and Cape Talk, open line.
Okay, we lost you there, Reverend Matola. I don't know what happened, but the man upstairs works in mysterious ways. I wanted your view just finally before we take calls. What else it is that you want to say?
No, I just wanted to say, we as a church, we don't discriminate against anybody.
But you do, though.
No, we don't.
You cannot have a doctrine that is heteronormative and tell me it's not discriminatory. You want to have your cake and eat it.
It is not. It is our belief. The same way...
Of course it's your belief. Just as racist beliefs are the beliefs of racists. It doesn't make it right.
No, it is our belief as a church and our doctrine. When it comes to the issue of relationships, we take a specific biblical view. The same way anybody else can take their own biblical view about same-sex marriages. So we have to agree to disagree. That's the point.
No, I'm not agreeing to disagree. No. I'm going to skewer the content of your views because it tramples on my dignity. You and I won't agree to disagree with the racist.
It has nothing to do with us trampling on your dignity. You're asking us our view. We are expressing our view. The same way you have your own views and you want to challenge our views. We have the right to hold our views. As long as we don't bother on hate speech, as long as we don't hurt anybody. You see, people have the right to hold their own views. It is our own view.
That's not an achievement. The content of your views, what bothers me, because it does not respect the inherent dignity and substantive equality rights of gay people.
That's your opinion. That's your opinion.
No, it's not. It is derived from reading articles.
It is your opinion.
Reverend Matole, it's no achievement to say my view is my view. That's what racists say as well.
No. I think we are talking about different things. It is your own opinion. you know what we are talking about, and I've expressed what I wanted to express. So that's what we want to express, and we want to keep it at that. We want to stay within the context of what we want to express as our own opinion. When it comes to our view as a church, when it comes to same-sex relationships, that's what you asked me, and I responded.
But stating your view is neither here nor there. Racists, misogynists also have views. In this day and
age,
it's not...
That's your own opinion. You can't put us on the same level as racist and whatever. That's your own perception.
Let me give you a final view from my side, and then you give a final view, and then we throw it out to the open to the public. Reverend Matole, let me be blunt here. Of course, I equate your view to this to that of racism. There's no moral difference between racism and homophobia. You and I would not give a platform to a racist just because they have speech rights. So telling me it's your view, telling me that no rights in law a compromise is neither here nor there. What you and I are having a conversation about is the content of your view. You have, in paragraph 5, in terms of the conditions to become a member of your church, a paragraph that asks me as a gay person to only become a member provided that I sign up to a heteronormative idea of a relationship. That is discriminatory, and it's no different to racism.
That's your opinion.
Okay, I mean, if that's going to be the quality of your response, I think we'll just leave it there and see what everyone else thinks.
That's your opinion. That's your point of view. You are reading our statement of faith. So we stick to our statement of faith. That's our statement of faith.
Okay, let's leave it there, Reverend Matole. Do you feel fully heard? Is there anything else you want to say to the public, not to me?
I think what we want to say to the public is that we as a church, we won't discriminate against anybody. Anybody is welcome to our church. But the view is that in society, there are different views when it comes to same-sex relationships. There are those who are pro, and there are those who don't subscribe to such views. But we must be in a position to coexist as a society without falling into hate speech, without falling into name-calling in such a way that we destroy the unity that we have as a diverse society. Let's agree to live in diversity as children of God and enjoy the democracy that is there.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for engaging. I do appreciate it.
You're welcome, then.
702 and Cape Talk, open line.
Cameron, good morning. What do you want to say?
Morning, Sigurd. What I said there. You know, I'm a black gay Christian as well. And
what do you mean as well? I'm not one, eh?
You know, Sigurd, I used to attend Grace Bible Church a couple of years ago, but I stopped going to the church. The thing is, back in my early 20s, you know, there's a church which I used to attend in Pretoria. And I was an usher at their church. And somehow, word got out that Cameron is gay. And you know what? I was told to step down for being an usher. You know what? I vowed never to back in the church ever again till this day. It's kind of, the pastor subsequently called me to actually come back to the church, but I never went back there. The thing is, for far too long, we as homosexuals, we stood for bigotry, for hatred, being stood behind the pulpit, and this is totally wrong, you know. We as black gay Christians, we should be loved, you know. Christianity is all about love. You know, when Christ was here on earth, he was preaching love. He didn't preach against homosexuality. In fact, he spoke against adultery, murder, and murder, but he didn't speak specifically about homosexuality. So I hate this thing of Christians who like to make it as if being gay is actually a capital sin. I don't think it is, actually. And also, the laws which are in Leviticus 18:22, those pagan laws are things like if you have sex with a woman, you can marry them and things like that. About you know, when Christ said, if ever you find a woman having sex with another, committing adultery, you can actually stone them. He said that in Leviticus. But then, you know, Christ said, he who is without sin must throw the first stone. So it should let there, so, you know, people must actually look into themselves and preach love and not preach hatred.
Can I ask you a question, though? Obviously, as an agnostic, I don't go to church. I don't believe in metaphysical magic and, you know, little garden gnomes under my bed and that kind of thing. So my question is, why on earth would you be part of a church community that is homophobic? Why even be there? I mean, you can't be surprised. Even Somizi, I mean, I'd love to ask Somizi this question. This preacher yesterday, isn't that not the... I mean, I went on this website. I would never be part of this church community just based on their statement of faith you got to sign. It forces you to sign up for a heteronormative relationship as the only kind of relationship that the church sanctions. What is a gay person doing in such a congregation?
Personally, I don't go to Grace Bible Church. As I said, you know, personally, I'm a Christian. I love God, and I will not change my Christian views just because of some pastor who tells me that my lifestyle is wrong and it's equal to that of animals and things like that. So for me, I will not stop going to church, but I will only go to a church where I am welcome as Cameron, who is a gay man. And frankly, I will not hide myself from being gay. I will tell them that, you know, I am gay, I'm here, and I'm Christian, and I'm here to fellowship with you.
Okay, interesting view. Thank you, Cameron. Let's go shopping, as gays love to do, and then we'll have more of this conversation right after this.
702 and Cape Talk, open line.
Jabu, good morning.
Hi, how are you?
I've never been better. How are you?
I'm all right, thank you.
Yeah, but what do you want to say?
Okay, I just want to say I am a member. However, my views don't necessarily represent the views of the church. What I want to say is that me personally, being a Christian who grew up there and who understands the doctrine, we don't judge if you are gay or not. However, like every institution, there is a law, and you need to abide by the law. Our law is basically the Bible. So we are guided by the Bible. In everything that we do, the word comes first. So they're saying you are welcome to the church as a gay member. We will not say go away. Similarly, if you're a murderer, you are welcome to the church. If you're a rapist, you are welcome to the church. If you're a racist, the way you were capitalizing on racism instead of maybe rapists and all the other people who also are not necessarily doing the right thing, but which is not necessarily wrong, we don't judge. You are welcome. But then we are not going to condone it. We are not going to say, because you have murdered, you are not welcome to the church, go out. And then we condone it. It's different. So there's two different things. The way I was understanding Dr. Matola is he was saying, yes, as a person, you have a right to do whatever you want to do. We will not judge. You don't answer to us or whatever. You are not accountable. But we have a set of rules and principles. Like every institution, if you go to a job, if you're working somewhere, they're going to say, these are our rules and regulations. You can choose to follow them. We abide by them. But they do not judge you as a church. We don't judge you. We don't check. They don't check you away. That's the bottom line. So I think we sort of are turning two different things, and we want to paint a picture which is not the correct picture, and I think it's very unfair. So I think we must just be honest. Yes, I mean, I'm a sinner. Nobody's perfect. There's some sermons that when they are preached, I will have an introspection and feel, you know what, this is speaking to me because I'm doing this and this and this and this.
Jabu, can I be honest with you? Because I know many people are listening to you. Some will agree, some won't. Can I tell you where
I'm... And it's their right.
That's okay. Can I tell you where I'm at with your little soliloquy?
That's fine.
You lost me at the point at which you were analogizing from homosexuality to rape and murder. At that point, I stopped listening to you.
Okay, that's fine. That's your right as well. We all have rights. Like I'm saying, I'm not going to judge you.
Why, thank you.
In the church,
give yourself a pat on the back.
So I'm not going to judge you. No, can you give me also a chance to talk? So I'm not going to judge you. That's fine. You have a right to do whatever. If you choose to change the radio station and not listen to 702 because I'm on the radio, it's also a right. So we all have rights. But the point is that I won't judge you as a Christian. However, I won't compromise and say, okay, because you have done this wrong, I'm going to compromise my values or whatever. Those are the values that we have. Those are the values that we stand by, but we do not judge.
Listen, Jabu, hold on. I tell you what, you may not judge, I judge. I judge
that's
the quality.
Hold on. That's fine. You have the right to judge as well. I'm not going to judge whatever you decide to do.
Jabu, I'm going to express my view whenever you stop interrupting me.
That's fine. All right. I apologize for interrupting.
No, it's okay. Mm-hmm. But on this platform, we pride ourselves on giving each other maximum space. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I judge you.
Yes.
You say you don't judge. That's comfort to me. Stop saying it's fine. Just listen to my argument. The content of your values is what I will evaluate. You saying, I don't judge. You sound like Reverend Ezekiel who says, you're welcome. No. That is not good enough. If you can't walk the talk of substantive equality, then telling me that you're not exclusionary isn't good enough. I'm going to judge you on the content of your values, on the content of your doctrine, and whether or not my relationship as an adult in a committed, loving relationship with another man is a relationship that is deemed ethically acceptable in your church. I will judge you. And right now, I judge you on a couple of things. I judge you on your grossly weak analogy between murder and homosexuality. And I also judge you for hypocrisy, because sure you do not regard other aspects of the Old Testament as important to stick to the letter. What do you make, for example, of Exodus 21:7 that says, "And if a man sell his daughter to be a maidservant, she shall not go out as the men servants do." Do you literally live your life according to the prescripts of everything in the Bible?
You see, that's why it's important to go to church and understand the word. Because you can't just read one chapter and apply it. You need to understand the context of the whole Bible. And that's why it's important to go to church every Sunday so that you are taught. Because believe you me, if you are not guided, you just take the Bible and you read it, you will be very confused. That's why there's something called services and there's churches and pastors stand there every Sunday preaching from the very same Bible so that we understand. Because we may all interpret the Bible differently. And as for you judging me, that's okay. I answer to God, and I believe He alone can judge me, and that's why I choose not to judge anyone else. And I'm okay with you judging me. Like you said, you have every right to do so.
Okay, let's leave it there, Jabu, and get a view also from Yuri in Braamfontein. Welcome to the open line.
Hi, Eusebius. I'm just so disappointed that someone who's holding almost a public sort of space can be, hide behind a sweeping view, "That's your opinion." He sounds like he's arguing, you know, like my two-year-olds argue better than that.
You know what it is, Yuri? It's the times we live in. People think the mere fact that an opinion is theirs make it okay and immune from scrutiny.
But the point is, we have a constitution. If you are violating that constitution, so your previous caller said if you go and work somewhere, they may apply rules. You may not agree with it, but those are their rules. That's fine. But if the rules violate the constitution, I'm sorry, that is the ultimate law in our land, and that is what we will subscribe to. So this reverend is indeed allowed to hold his view, but in the confines of his home and his mind, his small little mind. Once those views are put in a public space, they should not be allowed. That church should be closed down. And in future, hopefully people like that reverend will be charged using the hate crimes bill. But he should not be allowed to hold a public space. And it's exactly the same as racism a century ago. That was my view. Yes, you're entitled to your view in the confines of your home. But no, you are not allowed to hold it and preach it in a public space. He should step down. That church should be closed. It should be reported to the Human Rights Commission. And people should be able to argue more eloquently on issues that come straight from the supreme law of the land, and that is the Constitution.
Amen. Thank you, Yuri.
Thanks.
Cheers. Much appreciated. Let's go to KZN. Erica, thank you so much for calling into the show today. What are your reflections on this rather divisive topic?
Hi, Eusebius. Hi, can you hear me?
Loud and clear. The nation awaits your wisdom.
I'm not a regular caller. I'm actually quite shy, but this has really prompted me. Eusebius, I'm a mother of two gay sons. The one is actually, he goes to church. He's a beautiful Christian and married legally to a pastor who is also gay. And I have very strong feelings about this. I actually left the church because of the all this condemnation. I remember once when my son was getting married, I was told by a Christian, "How could you go to this wedding? Because you get to be condoning this kind of relationship." And I looked at this guy and I said, "You know what? For the first time in my life, I understand the Father love of God. And that is without condemnation." And I turned my back on the church and I walked away. And the church should be ashamed, because history has shown, right throughout history, the church history, that is, it condemns, the church condemns. And this is where racism has come from. This is where Hitler stuff came from. The church should go on their knees to the people that it has to see for centuries for all this condemnation that has caused so much war, so much heartache, and so much misleading of what the true love of God is all about. And that is without condemnation. And
thank
I
you.
Will not go to any church that to anything that they condemn gays, that encourages racism, that encourages all this kind of hatred.
Thank you, Erica. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Cheers, eh? Thanks. And please do call again. Praise be.
702 and Cape Talk, open line.
Okay, it is an open line. We're debating all sorts of things. The dominant conversation today, however, is that sermon yesterday at Grace Bible Church in Soweto, out of which Somizi had walked, and I fully support him for having done that. Dimakatso, welcome to the show.
Thank you, CBS, and how are you?
I'm very, very good. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm calling from Pretoria. People forget that, you know, the same Bible that are using to castigate homosexual people, it is the same Bible that tells us that we should not kill. And in the very same book of Exodus, it says that do not let a woman who practices witchcraft to live. And at the very same time, you know, in apartheid South Africa, white people used the Bible to treat black people as their slaves and to mistreat them and do all sorts of things. And I believe that, you know, as the church needs to lead by example because they hold a very powerful position in society. They need to step up to the challenge of being exemplary as demanded by the Bible. You know, I think it was in 2015 where a Zulu king said that, you know, he said a whole lot of xenophobic statements. And after that, there were a whole lot of xenophobic attacks in this country. And then for the Grace Bible Church to allow this pastor to come into their church and hold a platform that he did and say the things that he did, they are just as wrong as he is. They cannot come on this radio station and say to us that, no, we welcome everybody in the church, we do not discriminate, yet they give a platform to somebody who preaches homophobia. That is just wrong. They cannot do that.
And absolutely. That
part,
absolutely.
Yeah. And that part now just comes here and says to us that, no, that's the opinion. You know, I mean, in his reasoning, he's not advancing any intelligent sort of reasoning. So for him, you know, I found the level of his debate to be quite low and poor.
Absolutely, Dimakatso, I agree with you. Look, geez, that's way too many tweets that I literally can't keep up. I'm not exaggerating in saying that just in the first 30 minutes alone, we've had about 400 tweets on this. Clearly, people feel very strongly about it. Let me just pick out some random ones. Mazette tweets, is Eusebius also gay? Oh, gosh. My goodness, I don't think he should have handled this debate. He's way too emotional, Shem. Listen, that's the same nonsense we talk when women get emotional about misogyny. Engage the content of my argument. If you cannot construct an argument in defense of homophobia, in defense of heteronormativity, then I'm afraid it is little comfort to yourself to say, the only reason I'm not able to slam dunk this interview is because the guy interviewing me is gay. Okay? That is just not on. Defend the quality of your view, defend your interpretation of the Bible, defend why it is that the inherent dignity and substantive equality rights of gay people don't matter inside the church, only outside the church. You got to make those arguments. If you fail, you can comfort yourself and say, okay, Sisi Puti, he's on 702. No wonder he's getting so emotional. I know that the reasonable, dispassionate person listening to that interview with Reverend Ezekiel will know that what he kept saying was, it's your opinion, it's your opinion, it's your opinion. Now imagine, Verwoerd said that. It is your opinion. It's your opinion. It's your opinion. Engage the content of the argument. Make a case for your belief. If you can't, then go and shout into a homophobic echo chamber. I will simply drop my mic and walk away from your bigotry. Zamani, good morning and welcome to this conversation.
Hello. CBS, how are you?
I've never been better, my friend. What are your reflections on this topic?
I was at the church yesterday, Eusebius.
Did you join Zomizi?
Let me just elaborate a little bit. The pastor was basing his sermon on a scripture, which is Luke 16, from verse 19 to verse 30. Although he did make reference to some homogeneous scriptures in Mark and in Matthew, but that was the basis of his sermon, which speaks about the rich man and Lazarus. So basically, that scripture says those people who do right will go to heaven, those who do wrong will go to hell, basically. So that's the summary of that scripture. So basically what he was saying, he was speaking about the soul. So he was saying, if you sin, whether you steal, you're a thief, whether you're a liar, you lie, whether you are promiscuous, basically your soul will die. Basically, you are destroying your soul. So you will destroy it maybe up until a point where your soul is totally destroyed. And you know that inner voice that you have, we all do this. It always tells you when you're doing something wrong. So I'm sure it also tells you as well. So he was talking about that inner voice. That's the soul, basically. You see this.
Yeah, but obviously you're leaving out the bit that was offensive. He also said, in addition...
Hold on.
You don't have to. I will quote it verbatim. I've got it here because we have the transcript here as a money. And what he had said was the following sentence. Now, I'd love to hear how you will square this with your own sense of ethics and constitutional orientation, I hope. With regards to, he says, that's nature. Dogs, cats, leopards. Which animal has one partner? It's just like homosexuality. You don't have male and male. You don't find two male dogs. I mean, that is just absolute bigotry. I'm surprised you didn't join some easy on walking out. Where is the allies when we need them? And yet we want allies in the fight against racism.
All right, let me elaborate further, Eusebius. So a church, Eusebius, forms their opinion on legislation. Like there's a law in South Africa. You have to abide by that law. All organizations have a law. All organizations form their basis, their opinions on their legislation. So as a person, you have to choose if that piece of legislation is in line with your beliefs or with your way of living. So it's your own choice, basically. So Mizi has a choice to say, if I do not agree to whatever policies that this church adheres to, because every church forms their opinions on the basis of the Bible. The same way we have a constitution in South Africa, Christians, they adhere to the Bible. You see, that's where they get their, that's where they form their opinion. So you as a person have a choice to say, I agree with this policy, whether it's a political party, it's an NC, it's an EFF. It's either you make a decision or a choice to say, I agree with the policies of the EFF, I agree with the policies of the NC. And as a person, you choose whatever agrees with your beliefs and your and if you agree with that constitution or the legislation of that particular organization.
If you feel strongly about this and you want to debate it some more, you can call in on the open line tomorrow and have another bite at my gay cherry. 6 minutes after 10, it is the second hour of our Monday edition of the show. Thank you so much to everyone who took part in our discussion on the open line. And I just want to reflect a little bit on the open line, and I really thank you for participating. Obviously, we have a different topic for this hour that we have planned, but we can, and I'm sure will, revisit that conversation about the church, homosexuality, and homophobia, no doubt in future shows. We can even do it tomorrow in the open line. But there are two issues I just want to reflect on a little bit here. The first is around emotion. You know, it's so interesting how people hear you differently. So you've got some people on Twitter, for example, who go, oh my goodness, Eusebius, you're so patient. And I get that a lot. What I also get is, my goodness, you're so emotional. And that to me is interesting. And there's nothing I can do about different interpretations of tone and voice. What I do want to say on tone and voice, though, is that there's nothing wrong with emotion when the stakes are high. Someone being emotionally invested in a conversation, as an interviewer, as an interlocutor, as an active citizen, does not preclude them from constructing good argument. So it is a complete and utter red herring. It is a bulldust tactic in engaging someone to stop listening to the content of what they say because you don't like the fact that you are hearing them with a little bit of emotion in their voice. So I make no excuse for that. If women activists, feminists get angry, get emotional, quote unquote, that is a feeble response to the content of their activism. Engage the argument, don't play the person. The other thing I wanted to reflect on is I keep having flashbacks in my head to Reverend Ezekiel Matola saying, it's your opinion, it's your opinion, it's your opinion. And one or two folks who called in broadly in support of the church talking about rights. I deliberately used very little reference to the Constitution in that hour. And the reason is that, Yesterday, as this unfolded on social media, I told myself, as much as I am a constitutionalist, I don't want to rely on the Constitution in this particular conversation. Because there's law and ethics, and they don't always go inside. And they have a complicated relationship. It is easy to protect the content of your beliefs from scrutiny by simply saying that I have a constitutional right to hold this belief. That's not good enough. It is not good enough. It may be good enough in your echo chamber on Twitter. It may be good enough on your Facebook wall where you have friends who will like everything that you say. And we naturally attract into those spaces people who broadly agree with us. On this platform, it is not good enough. Here, logic, evidence, good argument is what will sway someone's viewpoint coming out, trumping someone else's viewpoint. And so I find it weird when we debate contentious things in South Africa and someone wants to be immune from scrutiny and their favorite trump is to say, but I have a right to hold this. Why don't you just leave the church? The church also has a history of, for example, liberation theology that have helped many people to win struggles against empire the world over. And now imagine if every time someone who holds a noxious viewpoint that has real bad consequences for real human beings were to say, but it's my constitutional right. And I think one of these days, I'd love us to have a debate about the limits of appealing to the Constitution when it comes to social and political discourse. Telling me you have a right to hold a view that is morally odious is not an argument in support of it.